the notion that predominantly working class Americans, that 138,000 of them died during the liberation of Europe for democracy. Not true. Those guys did not go to Europe and die to liberate Europe. They did, and that's what's amazing about their story. But they died next to friends in the most hellish circumstances, not thinking about democracy and flying the flag at all. In fact, by late in the war, I came across several anecdotes where the infantrymen, as Bill Mauldin said, the guys who gave most and got least, where they were disgusted by patriotism, they were disgusted by jingoism. When they read newspapers from back home, you know, they'd see, you know, a murder trial on the front page, and then page six, you know, 7th Army crosses bursts into Germany. The war didn't seem to be very important, didn't seem to really hit home in America during the Second World War, according, you know, in the eyes of these GIs who were going through hell, whose average lifespan was 90 days, who were being broken apart physically and mentally on a daily basis.
They were expendable.
They were cannon fodder, totally expendable, and they knew it, and they resented it. So this idea that, you know, when they got to Germany and they liberated Dachau, that they did so with the sort of a righteous sense of their place in history and that they were the liberators is not true. They were literally just desperate for it to end. The more Germans they killed, the quicker they got to Berlin, the faster they could destroy any opposition, the quicker it would be over. In fact, there's a scene right at the end of the book where I contrast Churchill with Sparks. Sparks is in Munich on the 8th of May 1945 when he learns that victory in Europe has been declared, and Churchill is in London when he's speaking to the British people. Churchill's mobbed, I mean, massive crowds, he can hardly hear himself speak, and he says to the British people, "This is your victory." Nice moment, I love Churchill for saying that. Sparks is in Munich and he doesn't celebrate. He's so exhausted that he sits there, and most of the guys with him, they're just stunned. They're just in shock, and they are stunned and exhausted. Their adrenaline is finally starting to ebb away. As Audie Murphy said, and he was in Munich, he was in the 3rd Division, America's most decorated infantryman from World War II, Audie Murphy,
sure,
fought side by side with the Thunderbirds all the way through the liberation of Europe. He said, at that moment on VE Day in Europe, when the war was over, and you would imagine every soldier to celebrate, he said, "There's peace without, but no peace within." And I think one of the themes of my book is that many of these guys are going to be not with us soon. It's projected that in 10 years, hardly any will be around. The second World War generation will be like the first World War generation, for all intents and purposes, no one around to talk to anymore. And one of the points of my book is that I interviewed perhaps 36 men, and I interviewed them in great detail about what the war was really about. And what they told me was that it was about trauma. And one guy, a guy called Rex Rainey, who went 511 days, was a shepherd in Colorado in the mountains after the war. That was his solace, that was his refuge, the mountains. I interviewed him last October, and he knew Sparks. He knew many of the guys in the book. He went all the way. He was a medic. Imagine what he saw. And he sat there and his hands were shaking in front of me, and they shook badly, and I was like, "Oh my God, what's wrong with you? Are you okay?" And I said, I thought to myself, "Is that old age?" And he said, "No, that's how it's been since the war." So, you know, all of his life, for the last 60, 70 years, this guy has carried around enormous trauma and PTSD. And I said, "Why didn't you guys talk about the war? You know, this is the question. Why did all you guys, the greatest generation, so-called greatest generation, why didn't you come back and talk about it?" And he said to me, "Well, if you've been in the worst car crash you can imagine every day for 511 days, as I was, do you think it's something you'd really want to talk about?" It's about trauma. War is about trauma. And I think in the book, what I'm trying to do is to show some of that trauma. You can never get near the truth of war unless you're there. And it's very, very difficult for these guys to talk about the truth of that experience because people can't connect, they can't relate. But it's a corrupting, evil, terrible, terrible process of degradation psychologically and physically in combat.
But we don't know it. We clean it up.
We have to clean it up because that's why we can keep doing it.